nationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and author Steve Klein sits down with the most fascinating difference makers in Dallas-Fort Worth. Hear from top CEOs, local entrepreneurs, and key playmakers in business right now with your host, Steve Klein.
Henry Wadsworth Longfellow said, "The height that great men reached and kept were not obtained by sudden flight, but while their companions slept, were toiling upward into the night." Hi, I'm Steve Klein, and welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. In the studio today are two guests who toil into the night. Our first playmaker is a former Navy SEAL officer and former NFL linebacker. Our second playmaker provides housing and specialized services to needy children with an emphasis on underserved and at-risk populations. With us today is the president of a global intelligence and advisory group. Our next playmaker brings a wealth of experience in helping children across our state heal from the physical and emotional scarring from abuse. These great playmakers are Clint Bruce. Clint is president of Trident Response Group, and Alicia Graham Fry, she is CEO of Jonathan's Place. And we're going to begin today's show with Alicia. Alicia Graham Fry is the CEO of Jonathan's Place, as I mentioned. Based in Dallas County, Jonathan's Place provides safe, loving homes and specialized services to children who have been victims of abuse, abandonment, and neglect. Serving 21 counties across Texas, Jonathan's Place is on the front lines of helping abused children 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. They are Dallas County's only emergency shelter that welcomes newborns to 17-year-old victims of abuse. They also provide a girls' residential treatment program for girls 10 to 17, a safe place program for runaway prevention and homeless youth outreach, and a rapidly growing foster and adoption program. Alicia, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, you have an extensive background working with nonprofits, and you've been with Jonathan's Place about 3 years. How did you get together with Jonathan's Place and become CEO?
Well, I had just moved. I'd been in Dallas for around a year, and I moved to Dallas from San Antonio, where I was vice president of the children's shelter out there, and moved here, started working for Volunteer Center of North Texas, and I saw an ad for the CEO position at Jonathan's Place, and it took me getting out of child welfare to realize how much I missed being around children. And once I saw that ad, I just applied for the position and got it.
Well, we were talking a little bit before the show started, and they obviously picked the right person because you have a tremendous amount of passion for working with these kids that come to Jonathan's Place. I mean, you put a lot of time, effort, and thought, and your whole being into it.
I do, and we do at Jonathan's Place. I don't do it by myself. I have an amazing team of caseworkers and social workers and all of my staff. They have a passion to care for these children, and I couldn't do it without them, so it's definitely not just me.
For those who don't know about Jonathan's Place, could you, in a little short scenario, mm-hmm. tell us how Jonathan's Place started, when it started, and what it's all about?
Sure. In 1991, Lisa Matthews, she actually founded Jonathan's Place. And she'd always wanted to help children, to work with children. And she was a single mom with two young boys, and she decided to foster. And she took in a little boy, and he didn't have a name. Right out of the hospital, he was addicted to drugs. And Lisa and her sons decided to name him Jonathan. And that's how Jonathan's Place began. And then maybe 5 years after that, she raised money, purchased a house on Gaston, and opened up one of the first group homes, group foster homes, later turned that into an emergency shelter. And then between 2002 and 2009, we built the campus that we're on now. We own 39 acres in Garland. And then she's still on our team. She lives in Panama, and she actually writes our grants, and she left her position as CEO, and that's when I came about.
Well, I'm looking at the picture you gave me of the site plan. You mm-hmm. have quite – I'm going from a little – just one building, one
yes.
place going to as
yes.
big as it is right now is absolutely, absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
I want to ask you a number of questions, but how bad – is abuse? I mean, how much of a need is there for Jonathan's Place?
Well, let me tell you, and these are state numbers. So in their fiscal year, and the state's fiscal year runs from September to August. Last fiscal year, there were around 200, a little over 250,000 alleged cases of child abuse.
And these are only ones that are reported?
And this is in North Texas, correct. And those are the ones that are reported. And out of that 258,000, 66,000 were confirmed. 66,000 That's a lot of abuse.
That's a tremendous amount of abuse.
Exactly. And out of those children, just in last fiscal year, there were 45,000 children in substitute care. 45,000 children in substitute care. And substitute care is foster. They may be living with a relative. They may be in a residential treatment center or an emergency shelter. But that's 45,000 too many.
Well, most of us are sheltered from hearing this information, so we don't see this. So, yes, that is a tremendous amount. What happens when a child is actually removed from their home?
Well, what happens, Jonathan's Place, we receive a call from Child Protective Services, and they may say, you know, we have a sibling group of four. Do you have beds available to them? And if we do, we say yes. They bring the children to us. And while they're working out the issues with the courts and the parents, we focus on the child, solely on the child. And we can have that child come into our shelter at 2 o'clock in the morning. And the first thing we ask them is, are you hungry? We find a lot of times children haven't eaten in 2 and 3 days. So no matter what time it is, we say, are you hungry? And then we show them their rooms and we let them know that they're safe. We have staff that are in our shelters 24 hours a day. No one sleeps in the shelter. We have children that wake up in the middle of the night with night terrors, and we want to make sure we're there to take care of them. So during that process, so the child has come to the emergency shelter, the state requires that the children is in a foster home or with a family member within 90 days. Now, there are instances where we have children that have to stay longer, and we can request a variance for that. And for example, last January, we had a sibling group of six come in. They aged 10 to 16.
Six kids, one family.
And that's a group home. There was no one that could take all these children. So we requested a variance, and we were able to keep those children from January until June. Now, they had family members and friends who wanted to take them, 15, by the way. And all 15, none of them passed a background check. And that tells you the violence and the drugs that were just infested into that family. And those children could not go back to that. So it took from January to June to find a family member that could take them, and they ended up going with an aunt.
Well, you see a lot of, on the television shows, you see a lot of places where the kids are taken when they have to be removed from their homes, and it's not a really positive situation. Mm-hmm. You have turned Jonathan's Place into a very positive environment for these kids. Almost the extent that they want to be there, and I see they really wouldn't want to leave.
Yeah, you know, that's funny. Amley Group, and they manage apartment complexes, and they're a big supporter of ours. And they invited us to take our children and our staff to a Rough Riders game yesterday. And we did. And we have a young girl in our shelter. She's 16, and she's there with her 2.5-month-old baby. And she came up to me, and she said, Miss Alicia, she goes, I'm getting ready to leave soon, and I'm really nervous, and I'm really thinking I don't want to leave because I'm going to miss you guys. You know, and, you know, I told her, just like all the children there, we're going to miss you too, but this is good for you. This is going to be a wonderful placement for you. So the children do come in, and a lot of times they don't want to leave. But we know that they do need to be with a family and in a home environment. And although our cottage looks like a great big home, we still know the next step for them and their progression and to get well is to be with a family.
You talked about fosters,
yes.
Foster children, foster homes. What about that need? How much of a need is there for foster families?
I looked at the numbers last month, and there were 3,500 children that were in foster in Region 3. Now, Department of Family and Protective Services, Texas has 11 regions. They've broken Texas into 11 regions, and Dallas County, Tarrant County, and 17 surrounding counties are part of Region 3. So in Region 3, you're talking 3,500 children just in the month of May that are in foster. And there were around 500 children that had to be placed outside of region because there aren't enough foster homes.
So you are short. You have a tremendous need for foster families.
Tremendous need. And I tell individuals, just go to our website at jpkids.org, and you can click on foster, and you can see where we have orientations every month. And you can just come to our campus and sit in for an hour orientation. Ask all the questions you want to ask about being a foster parent. You know, even if you just have that little inkling that says, you know, maybe we should do this. I don't know. Just come. There's no pressure. And that's the time to ask everything there is that you wanted to know about foster, being a foster parent.
Well, to bring this up to make sure I don't forget, Jonathan's Place website is jpkids.org. And I understand you have a meeting on July 8th.
We do.
At 6:30. and all the details are there. They can call up or they can check it out to see if they have, what they need to do to come to that meeting.
Exactly.
Well, what other programs do you have? You mentioned a few because you talked. Mm-hmm. We have something special for the young ladies up to 17.
Other programs
you have?
We have the we have the emergency shelter. We have the girls' residential treatment program for girls 10 to 17. We have a national safe. It's called Safe Place, and it's a national organization, and it's really all about outreach and talking to children, going into middle schools and high schools, and talking to children about the dangers of being on the street, the dangers of running away. We teach them what a crisis is. What support systems do you have out there before you run away? And we are in partnership with QT convenience stores. And if any child goes into a QT convenience store in Dallas County, they will call us and we will go out to that child and assess the situation. And we just recently had a call at a QT store not far off of 75 and Walnut Hill area. And there was a 7-year-old boy who did not know how to get home. 7 years old. So Mahogany Gaston, she's amazing. She runs that program for us. And she went there and she says she walked into the Quick Trip store and there's this adorable little 7-year-old sitting on the counter with a big bag of chips and a big drink. And he was just content.
I knew the drink was coming.
Yeah, he was just happy. And she went in there and she talked to him. She said, well, you know, do you know your parents' phone number? And he said, no. She said, do you know where you live? He said, no. So she put him in the car and she said, do you know what school you go to? He said, yes. She Googled it, found the school, and then they were able to find his home from the school because he knew how to walk home from school.
That's absolutely amazing.
So she got there. His dad didn't even know he was gone.
That
it
happens.
Takes a second for a child to be snatched off the street.
That's a second. Right.
So, you know, the fact that we're in partnership with QT convenience stores is a lot. And any child can go there and we will, again, assess the situation. So you could be locked out of the house. You could just be lost. You could be in crisis.
I wish there was a place for adults to go when they get locked out.
I'm telling you. Yeah. My go is call my husband. So he's my go. But so we have that program and it's an amazing program. And then, like you said, we have foster care and adoptions.
Well, in the last few seconds, tell the listeners how else they can become involved if they want to give, and also quickly about your golf classic.
Yeah. Well, we always need volunteers to come and volunteer in our programs to mentor the girls in our girls' treatment program or to volunteer with the kids in our emergency shelter. We have an amazing campus. We have a library. We have an art therapy room. We have a play therapy room. We have basketball courts. It's just, you know, amazing. And I tell people all the time, you don't have to have this grand gesture. You just come and talk to the children. They don't have anyone that just talks to them and listens to them. You can come and read a book in the library or you can play basketball with them. You don't have to have this curriculum. It doesn't take this grand gesture. So we always need volunteers. We also always need donations of in-kind gifts. So clothes for kids. So, we're always looking for those or hygiene items. I tell people, whatever it takes for you to run your household, that's what it takes for us. So toothpaste and soap and all of those things. We also need monetary donations. The state pays us to care for these children, but it only really pays for between 45 and 50% of what it costs to truly care for them. The rest of the money that we need comes from donors, you know, just our community helping to care for these children that have been through a lot.
Alicia Graham Fry, she is the CEO of Jonathan's Place. And again, Jonathan's Place is jpkids.org. Please go there on the homepage. It shows the golf classic that's coming up on October 19th. Alicia, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you for having me.
Do not go away. We have more. We have the president of Trident Response Group, and that is Clint Bruce. He'll be joining us right after this.
Operation Kindness is the oldest and largest no-kill animal shelter here in North Texas. Each day, its staff and volunteers care for an average of 300 homeless dogs and cats in its shelter in Carrollton, plus 100 more animals living in foster homes throughout the Metroplex. Learn how you can adopt, donate, or volunteer with this nonprofit group by visiting their website at operationkindness.org or by calling 972-418-7297. operationkindness.org.
Are you a veteran? Do you need a job? The America's Future Series, in association with Dallas Baptist University, is having a free veteran hiring fair on Tuesday, August 12th at the Dallas campus of DBU. More than 50 Dallas area employers will be there in order to fill open positions with qualified veterans like you. You must register to attend, so go to americasfs.org and register today. That's americasfs.org. See you there.
Welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. We're going to have some fun this segment. You heard a commercial at the break about Dallas Baptist University and the veterans. We're going to talk about that in just a few moments. But we're going to talk to Clint Bruce. He is the founder and president of Trident Response Group, which is a global intelligence and advisory group headquartered in Dallas. For nearly a decade, Trident has solved problems and managed risks for America's best businesses, leaders, and families wherever they have interests and concerns. Clint is a decorated athlete, former NFL linebacker, a graduate of the Naval Academy, former Navy SEAL officer with multiple deployments in support of national security. He's a successful entrepreneur and powerful champion of the returning combat veteran, which we're going to talk about. And he works through nonprofits such as Carry the Load, which we're also going to talk about. Clint, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Well, there's a lot we have to talk about. And on your website, I saw for Trident Response Group, which is tridentresponse.com, keeping leaders, families, and businesses ready for their most realistic risks. So what is ready look like?
Yeah, that's the question. That's our question to people is what is ready look and feel like for you? And because that's the powerful word. Ready is this totally relative word that always means what it's supposed to mean. And, you know, our world as operators, if you're stacked in a hallway and you're about to enter into a room and you look across at the guy and, hey, you ready? Yeah, I'm ready. And then you know he's done what he needs to do and you're going to take the next door. You know, you go do anything great. You look at the person doing it with you like, hey, you ready? Yeah, I'm ready. Or, you know, you're going to dinner with your wife and she says, are you ready? And you walk out and she's – and you're like, yeah, I'm ready. And she looks at you, she goes, you're not ready. That's not – you're not wearing that. That's not – so sometimes you think you're ready, but you're really not. What we try to do with great families, leaders, and businesses is help them understand what their ready is. What does ready look and feel like for you? What resources, plan, talent, tools – what are those tools that need to be made available to you?
And this is not a question that most people have thought about before.
Yeah, and what's interesting about that is it's the elephant in the room that no one knows how to describe. And what's happened is as risk has crept closer and closer to our daily lives, even here in Dallas, people have become more and more aware that there's a gap between what police and firefighters and the United States government can do for them and candidly should do for them, because I think people have a lot of personal responsibility they need to account for. And that gap is what we feel like we need to do to help them feel ready. So personal responsibility and leadership responsibility is a big deal, and we help articulating what that gap is and then filling that gap with the right tools, resources, talent, and plans.
Well, you mentioned before we started that you have a century worth of experience in your area with Trident Response Group. Mm-hmm. But talk a little bit about how Trident Response began as a result of Hurricane Katrina.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I'm happy to. So, you know, I transitioned out of the military and went into private wealth management with an incredible group, Dow Crocker, Gerald Benz, Robert Blackford, that are now over at Raymond James. And they just really led and cared for me well and helped me transition. And what I saw them do was began to manage risk to people's wealth. And so there was a parallel to that that I really understood. And the capstone moment for me was when Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans and got a phone call from the Fairmont Hotel. And they asked me if I could put together a team and go into New Orleans and actually secure their hotel and then get all their guests, employees, and employees' families out of New Orleans. And so we were able to do that. We were able to do that very quickly because we knew how to. There's a very similar mission in the military called a NEO, a non-combatant evacuation operation. And so we just basically slapped the NEO template on top of New Orleans, and we're effectively able to get a lot of people out. And what happened after that is that following week, all these successful families and businesses and leaders who had said no to me as wealth manager, as they should have, because, you know, I played linebacker, were then asking me to help them manage risks and be ready for those as a family and as a business and individual. And that was almost 10 years ago, and we've been doing it ever since then.
And you've grown from there. We'll talk about the type of leaders that you support and what you do for them and why and how you work with those leaders.
Sure. It's very consultative and it's very relationship driven. It's very similar to what a CPA does with someone or a general counsel or whatever. They become the trusted advisor for that terrain of risk.
Well, you're a question asker. You go in and you spend a lot of time asking questions.
Yeah. And we really what we do is we work with a lot of our clients and help them understand that they really already know the questions to ask. And we help kind of extract those questions. And then we give them answers that are actionable and deployable and scalable for their whole families and businesses. Because the right answer is the right answer. It's just a question of scale. And so one of the things we tell people is, you know, we play chess. We don't really play checkers. Checkers is a great game, but there's an elegance and an intellect that goes to playing chess, and, you know, three steps ahead, all this. That's what we really try to do. We like to be in front of risk and help prevent it and anticipate it.
Well, coming from the NFL, Tom Landry spent all his time as a chess master on the field.
He did, absolutely.
As he was working with his players. Well, how valuable are veterans in this group? We were talking before we started about veterans. You also support Carry the Load, which is carrytheload.org. Talk a little bit about what you do working with veterans.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I love about what we do at Trident is we've really been blessed to create a way where the transitioning veteran that gets out on Friday can actually produce value and the provision for his family on Monday, because really what we're doing is we're distilling those exportable skills you learn in national security. And we talked about this a little bit earlier. It has very little to do with the MOS and kind of what your job was in the military. The reality is what we crave in the military from top to bottom is initiative, quick thinking, loyalty, work ethic, and all those things. Those are so valuable to the private sector. And so what we're able to do when they come to work with us is immediately deploy those skills in support of the private sector and then create a path for them to really understand what opportunities are available out there for them and who the great leaders are. And what I found is it matters less what you do. It matters a whole lot who you do it for and how much they believe and invest in you, which is why the story of Jonathan's Place is so powerful for me to hear, because it's filling that vacuum that these kids have that they shouldn't have. But what Jonathan's Place is doing is just filling that vacuum with all the things that really matter when you're trying to figure out who you are.
This being the 4th of July, we're talking obviously about veterans, and again, the spot that ran in between Jonathan's Place and Clint with Trident Response is a veteran hiring fair. Mm-hmm. This could be at Dallas Baptist University, and this is for employers looking for employees. This is for veterans. It's free to you. It's Tuesday, August 12th from 9:30 to 3:30, Dallas Baptist University. And this is not a fair that you go to and just kind of talk to people. They're actually hiring there too.
Right.
So you're involved with making sure these vets actually get placed.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think one of the things that Dallas is great at, Dallas is such a talent incubator and such an entrepreneurial city. And what I found about great leaders and entrepreneurs is that really the only two things I care about as a leader is capacity and capability. And if I have no time, then I'm going to
talk about the difference.
Sure. So if I have no time, I'm going to choose capability. I have a particular widget that I need to build, so I'm going to find the best widget maker out there for that. If you give me time, I'd rather have someone with capacity, because I can tailor them to what I know I need. And what you're getting when you're dealing with a returning veteran is someone who has an unbelievable capacity. Their ability to perform under stress, their ability to endure hardships, their ability to think outside of the box and produce results. And, you know, the military and the free markets, I think, are really two of the last meritocracies. And, you know, in the military, if you do your job well and you work hard, you're going to be able to promote. It's just a matter of time and opportunity. And the free markets abide by very much the same rules. And so it's wonderful to create opportunities for leaders who are looking for people with high capacity that they can pull into their organizations and purpose build them for the mission of that organization. And that's what that job fair will be. You know, for me, I look at it as a high opportunity market. You know, you go there, find someone that's going to bring high opportunity with them to you and your organization.
Well, I did not have a chance to serve since I was going to high school about the time of the Vietnam War, and I was in the first draft lottery. Mm-hmm. My number was 342. I knew I was never never going to be drafted and just stayed in school. But one of the things I missed, never having gone to boot camp, and I think one,
you so missed never having gone to boot camp.
Gone to boot camp.
Let me go ahead and just let me shed you of that burden. It's we'll go out here, I'll throw some water in your face and make you do push-ups and yell at you, and then it's the same experience.
But at the age of 18, not knowing where I want to be, and that would have given me some tremendous structure in my life, which brings me to talking about what we talked about before the show started, the fact that there's these kids are coming out of the military that are perfect candidates for many businesses because they have been taught to follow. They've been taught process. They've been taught how to learn regarding what their MOS, their major occupational specialty is. They know how to learn. They're great for a lot of companies. Mm-hmm. And that's something that you're supporting.
Yeah, without question. And I tell you that even on top of being taught that, what I tell you, there's a natural urgency and desire inside those who've gone and served to do those things. I mean, it's good clay for the military to use. And so that desire to serve well and make a difference and be a leader, that predates their service. And so you're talking about good clay to work with. And the military's done that really well most of the time. And then when they come back, you're just finding that great, nearly shovel-ready tool that can immediately deploy it inside your system. And with great leadership and investment in them and direction, they can do things that defy your expectation and candidly theirs. It's fun for me to watch some of my young guys remember how smart they are. I've known all along, but every once in a while I'll see them in a conversation with a CEO of a Fortune 100 company, and they'll be giving one of the things we call MyTRIP, which is a travel risk program. It stands for My Threats, Resources, Intelligence, and a Plan. And I watch these 26-year-old veterans that, you know, haven't graduated from college. And he gave this presentation. It was fantastic. And he went out in the hallway to, and I kind of had the meeting after the meeting. And one of the executives, very distinguished grad from an Ivy League school, said, "You know, what school did you go to?" And I said, "Bishop Lynch." And he goes, "Oh, is that a liberal arts school on the East Coast?" I'm like, "No, brother, it's in Mesquite. It's Garland. It's a high school." And because that intellect was there, and it was fun to see him discover how smart I'd always known him to be, and he maybe had forgotten he was. And it was really neat to be part of that moment.
Clint Bruce is the president of Trident Response Group. And just really quickly, in a short period of time, before I mention the veterans hiring fair again, exactly what you do.
Yeah, we solve problems and manage risk for America's best leaders, for their families and their businesses. And we become the trusted advisor for them as they lead. You know, we need leaders to lead in this nation. And there's a terrain of risk that's new and emerging that we help them navigate well by giving them access to tools and talented people and great resources that can make sure they're making the right decisions about where they're going, what they're trying to do, that when they're home, when they're traveling, that their families are safe at home. We just bridge that gap between what people have and what makes them feel ready.
And again, the hiring fair, veteran hiring fair, is at Dallas Baptist University. You can check it out at americas-fs.org. It's Tuesday, August 12th at Dallas Baptist University from 9:30 until 3:30. Clint, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
Again, Clint Bruce, he is the president of Trident Response Group. It's tridentresponse.com. Thank you very much for listening to us. This has been a great show. Join us at PlaymakersTalkShow.com, where you can get all of our replays and past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com. We're going to be back next week with more Playmakers. See you then.
Who will Steve be interviewing next? Find out on Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein every Friday afternoon at 3 on 770 KAAM. Hear this interview again by going to Steve's website, PlaymakersTalkShow.com.